Yeah, so it'd be, yeah, page 9. Page 10, yeah. The development of trust. First, it's time to first the teachers of love, which the course calls the teachers of God, the teachers of love. And so, the courses, are you familiar with the course at all?
I am not.
Okay. Well, the Course in Miracles is a course that's, the whole basis of it is to give you peace of mind, to give you new interpretations of things, so that you will have peace of mind, and it says when you have peace of mind, you can hear your own inner guidance. Mm. So the purpose of the course is to give us new ways of looking at things in order to give us peace of mind to hear our guidance. And so in this part of the section that I'm covering right now, it's talking about how you develop trust. And now that you call on spirit, how you develop trust, and then some of the things that you want to go through in the development of trust. Mm-hmm. And so it talks about the only guidelines to the course is that you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. And if some of the things in the book you'll find startling or find hard to believe, but if you use the ideas, says you'll see that the ideas are true. So one of the things that makes it easier, I'm going to be on page 10, you have the development of trust, which is... So just keep in mind when you're listening to it, what you're doing is you're listening for whatever phrase, sentence, or whatever that clicks for you. Because the whole theory is that, you know, we're getting guidance from spirit, and that it's not about everything you hear, but it's no accident you hear. So it's a possibility you're going to hear something that'll be an answer to something that you're working on. Okay. So it talks about that if you're going to develop trust, it says... First, we're on page 10 in the teacher's manual. It says, first, if you're going to develop trust, you must go through what might be called a period of undoing. It says, the period of undoing need not be painful. I'm talking a little bit softer today because I had some dental work done yesterday and my mouth isn't all the way healed yet. So it's got me a little off center in that regard today. It says, first we must go through what might be called a period of undoing. It says, now, the period of undoing need not be painful, but the period of undoing usually is so experienced. It seems as if things are being taken away. Page 10 in the teacher's manual. Says, it seems as if things are being taken away, and it's rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where the perceiver must see things in a different light? The perceiver is not yet at a point at which the perceiver can make the shift entirely internally. And so the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seem to be external circumstances. These changes are always helpful. When the teacher of God has learned that these changes are always helpful, the teacher of God goes on to the second stage. So the first stage of the development of trust is to recognize that you're going to go through a period of undoing and that it doesn't have to be painful, but it uses experience as painful because to somebody who doesn't know what's going on, it looks like things are being taken away. Or it looks like you're losing stuff. Or it looks like things are changing and it's moving sometimes in the direction opposite to what you think it should be going. And what the Course says is really happening, though, is that what appears to be leaving your life is just what you no longer value the way that you used to value it. And he says, usually we're not at the point that we can change internally. Like the average person that comes to the class always says they want to change. Like if I said to the class, does everybody want to have a new life? Does everybody want to go for peace? Does everybody want to go for joy? Normally everybody always raised their hand. Right? You've seen it. We all do it. Okay? But they don't want to change. We don't want to change. What we really want to do is stay the way we... Of course, what we really want to do is stay the way we are, but without the suffering that it entails. Okay, what I really want to do is stay just the way I already am, but I don't want to go through the stuff that the way I am makes me go through. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like I want to get a red reflection. I don't want to get a red reflection, but I want to stay a red light bulb. So show me how I can have a red, they have a blue reflection and stay a red light bulb. Right. So the course says, well, what happens is that the plan will sometimes call for changes that seem to be external changes. And so the first stage to developing trust is to make the decision that all the external changes that you go through are always helpful. So one of the first stages of developing trust is to claim that the changes that you're going through in your life right now are helpful. All the changes that you're going through in your experience right now is helpful. Does it always look like it? No. Does it always feel like it? No. Does it sometimes feel like it? Yes. Does it sometimes seem like it? Yes. Because there's only going to be two reactions to any change. Either you're going to like the change or you're not. All right, so we already got the options covered. All right, so the course says now take it to the next level. And the next level would be recognizing that it's helpful and claiming that it's helpful. Like when I went to the dentist, did I go through some pain? Yes. And is my jaw healing? Yes. Now, what's going to be the result of that? Well, the result of that is, in the long term, I'll have a better condition in my mouth, right? But in the beginning, it seemed like it was painful. So, yes, it was a change. Yes, did it seem like it was painful? Yes. But was the change helpful? Yes. So one of the first things I have to let go if I'm going to grow spiritually is the belief that I'm going to necessarily experience every helpful thing as something that I think is joyous. And so what happens many times is when people want to change and go to another level of consciousness, then unless they always like what's going on, then they tend to think that somehow or another what they're going through might not be helpful. Remind me of listening to John Kerry's wife in an interview. She was saying that the only reason why she found out that she had the cancer that she had so that she could be helped was that she went there for a bruised or broken rib or something. And in the process of them checking out her rib, that's when they discovered her cancer. So what it looked, on the outer, it would look like the last thing in the world you want is to have a bruised or broken rib. But actually, that bruised or broken rib was what made her aware of something that could help extend her life. So again, I think Spirit is inviting us to do the same thing in our own life. Even if there seems to be something happening that you don't particularly see as being a wonderful thing, Spirit is saying to us, all changes are helpful because sometimes we're not able to make the shift internally. And since we won't make the shift internally, there are things that happen externally in order to bring about the change that we need to have brought about. The last sentence in that paragraph to me is the key sentence. It says, when the teacher of God, that's us, the teacher of love, he says, when the teacher of God has learned that much, he goes on to the second stage. When we have learned that all changes are always helpful, then we go to the next stage. When I can claim that all changes are helpful, I go to the next stage in developing trust. Okay. Any thoughts, questions, or clarifications about that? Because on Wednesday is more of a discussion group, so it isn't really about me just talking and people listening on Wednesday. I'm more interested in getting in touch with the thoughts that you're having about what you heard. Or clarification or questions.
When you were talking about,
would you mind saying your name? Everybody say their name so that you get a chance to get to know each other.
Laurel.
Yeah. Okay.
When you were talking about Mrs. Carey.
Uh huh.
One of the struggles I'm having is, and you were talking about, you know, she found this cancer because, you know, she went in for another reason, is that, you know, I don't know if the Course believes this, but I'm believing, I think, that, you know, the moment we're born, the time of our death is already set.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is true, going in and finding out you have cancer and going through all of the process of that, curing that, does that change anything really, except that the time you're here, you're, you know, healthier or something, if the time is already set? And does the course believe that?
We don't die. What the course is saying, you're either going to experience life peacefully, or you're going to experience your life in conflict or fear. Uh-huh. And what it's about is giving you new interpretations of your experience, so that you can have peace of mind. And then, in having peace of mind, you can hear your internal guidance and get in touch with who you really are. So the course is much more about the journey than the destination. So whether or not your time of birth is set, your time of death is set, I don't know. Like one of the things it says about...
It doesn't answer that.
It says there is no such thing as death, ultimately.
Right.
And when you lay the body, you know, when its usefulness is done,
yeah,
the body will be laid down. Now, from a course perspective, we've already gone through death. It's already done, really. And what we're doing is seeing what we went through before we went there. But the point of this section, see what it is that it's like when we focus on the theoretical aspects, the course says, like whether or not our time of death is set or not, it says that that's a delaying maneuver to keep us from using the truth that we are being given in the practical application. Like right now, it would say to us that the only real point is whether your time of death is set or not, is to know that, is to walk away going, whatever changes that I'm going through in my life right now is helpful. That thought is the thought that transforms. That's the most important thought, is in the development of trust, because that's what this section is about. So it's really about developing trust. And the point is that every change is helpful in your life is the first stage to the development of trust. So what I'm going to try to keep doing is bringing it back to what he's trying to get us to do, you know, right now. So so if you were to, no matter what you're going through, if you saw it as being helpful, it would give you more peace than if you saw it as being something that was hindering you. Even if they told you you had 2 days to live.
Right.
If you could see this change as helpful, you still would feel more peace than you would if you saw the change as being something that was horrible. So it's really just working on giving us a new interpretation of changes and letting us know that the only reason why we're going through the external change to begin with is because we're not making the internal shift. So I don't know if that answers your particular question, but that's what this paragraph is trying to get us to do, and that's what I want to keep coming back to, is what is he trying to get us to do in this paragraph? What is he trying to get us to remember in this paragraph? Because most people when I talk to them, I don't know about you, but almost every day people get up in the morning, they do their routine, they go to their jobs, or they do whatever they do during the day, and then they go to bed. And then one day they'll say they had a good day. And it's basically the same thing that happens every day. And then the next day they say they had a bad day. But it's basically the same thing that happens every day. So why is it that one day is better than the other day? When you're basically doing the same thing. It's not like you did something really different yesterday than you're doing today, right? So what's really different about it, the way you looked at it? What happened the day you didn't feel good was you had some bunch of changes happen that you labeled as bad. And the day you were happy was there was a lot of changes that happened that you said was cool. But what happened both days? Changes. Right? That's the only thing that happens every day. Changes. And we just label them. And so right now it's saying, well, if you're going to develop trust, then realize that the changes that you're going through, the ones you say you want to wake up spiritually, the ones you say you want peace, that the changes that you're going through are always helpful. And you're going through these external changes because you're not at a point that you can make the shift entirely internally. Like if I say to you, we're supposed to love each other and love each other equally and really just have a peaceful frame of mind. Well, I doubt if anybody in here can pull that off just because I just told you that. So we're not able to make that shift internally, right? So what happens? We have external circumstances that bring us to that, which means we'll form relationships that bring us to that, or we'll get a career that'll make us learn that lesson, or we'll have, you know what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden, it's like the external circumstances start to move us toward that goal of loving more, because I'm not ready to love everybody just because you said so. I'm not ready. I can't forgive everyone just because you said so. So I can't do the internal shift yet completely. So now I'll go through external things that'll bring me to that level of forgiveness. Anybody else got any thoughts about that first paragraph? The key to the course is the course says it's not interested in really in anything that you can't do now. And that was the thing that saved me with this book, because it took me a while to get that. Because I realized that most people on a spiritual path are very much not in the now. Most of it is theoretical issues, like what happens on other planes, other dimensions, what might have happened in the past life, what's going to happen in the future. But what we could do now would be to say the changes in my life are always helpful. And see, in the ego part of the mind, which of course calls the fear part of the mind, is never interested in anything that you can do now, because anything you can do now would dispel fear. It would dispel the ego. And the ego is just the part of the mind that believes in fear and separation and thinks it's separate from God, and thinks the part of the mind that thinks it's on its own and is in competition and is trying to be special and trying to control the unknown. It's the part that's always trying to control the unknown. That's the ego. It's like, I don't really know the cause of everything, but I want to control it. I didn't create you, but I want to control you. You know, I want to control everything in my experience, because if I can control it, then I think I'll be safe. That's the ego. It's the part of the mind that believes that controlling external things is how you're going to have peace. That's a pretty simple definition, but it's very powerful. You know, it's like, if I can control you, then I can have some peace with you. You know. And so now, whatever changes you're going through in your life, would you be willing to claim it as helpful? That's the key. Would you be willing to claim it as helpful in order to develop trust? Well, it couldn't be to my advantage not to have enough money to pay my bills. Would you be willing to claim that it's helpful? You see what I mean? It's like, I'm the one that set it up that it's not helpful if I can't pay my bills. But we're talking about spiritual awareness. We're not talking about ego physical awareness. Sometimes, no matter what situation you're in, that's a situation that you can develop spiritual characteristics in. No matter what that situation is. There's some people who are in prison that are more enlightened than people who are walking the street. Because of what they went through in prison, they are now working on their spirituality more than any they ever did when they were out here on the street. So you can't just say any situation is better than another situation. It just depends on what do the person want to use that situation for. And that's what he says, like, when you decide what it's for, he says that'll determine the outcome. So I can go, all changes are helpful. So the guy that's in prison is going, somehow or another it's helpful for me to be in prison. Guess what? He's going to have a much more peaceful experience of prison than the person that's in prison saying it's not helping me. You know, don't you know some people that no matter how good it gets, they still complain? We all know people like that, right? No matter what happens, they find a way within 10 minutes to come up with something that's wrong with it. So that's one of the easiest ways that you can see that peace is internal and not external. I can remember having stuff happen to me that I swore to God if I got out of that situation, I'd be a changed man. And as soon as that situation was healed, I went right back to my old habits that I had before. As soon as the crisis was gone. You know what I mean? Yeah. So really, helping the effect without dealing with the cause doesn't do any good. To deal with the symptom without dealing with the cause doesn't do any good. You know, okay. Okay, we can go to the next paragraph. But it's important to realize that if you get sincere about developing trust, at first you may experience pain, not because you have to experience pain, but because things that are no longer valuable to you are leaving your life. And so your mind might say, it looks like something is being taken away from me. That's very important. I mean, he's telling us exactly what's going to happen to us as we wake up. And so I have to stay aware of that so that I won't be fooled. He says, then the next thing the teacher of God must go through is a period of sorting out. Notice what's the next part of the sentence. This is always somewhat
difficult.
Right? He says, because having learned that all the changes in your life are always helpful, you must now decide all things on the basis of whether all things increase the helpfulness or hamper the helpfulness. He says, and I'm going to say you will find that many, if not most of the things you valued before will merely hinder your ability to transfer what you've learned to new situations as they arise. Because you have valued what is really valueless, you will not generalize the lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. It is only to the extent to which all events, all things, all encounters, and all circumstances are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. The word value can apply to nothing else. So, in sorting out, then, you're looking at the situation in terms of, is this situation increasing? Is this situation helping me achieve my goal, or is this situation moving me away from my goal? What's valuable is what is helpful. So if my goal is to know oneness, and I'm constantly arguing, if I'm constantly fighting, if I'm constantly projecting, if I'm constantly blaming, that's not very helpful. If I want to have peace with you and all you want to do is argue with me, then my relationship with you isn't helpful. In terms of valuable, in terms of the goal. So he says the second stage is sorting out. So it's kind of difficult until you realize that there are some things you want to apply the truth to and some things you don't want to apply the truth to. That's what he means when he says you'll find that most of the things you value before will hinder your ability to transfer what you've learned to new situations as they arise. Which means that I think if I apply the truth in this situation, it benefits me. But if I think I apply the truth in another situation, I think I'm going to lose. Like, for instance, if the truth says love is freedom, right? And I'm in a relationship with you, and you want to do something that I don't want you to do. Well, then it seems like if I practice the truth with you, I'm going to lose. So I don't want to apply the truth with you, because I feel like I'm going to lose if I practice the truth with you. Or if the truth says I should forgive you, and then you don't want to forgive me because you think if you forgive me, I'll just do it again, then you won't want to apply the truth to me because you think in that situation you're going to lose. But if he says the truth says claim that you have prosperity and abundance as your natural state and you deserve to be prosperous, the average person would be glad to apply the truth there. They'd be glad to say, oh yes, I'm willing to say that I'll be prosperous and that abundance is my natural state. But I'm not willing to say you're innocent because of what you did last night. See, there are some situations I want to apply the truth to, some I don't. So he says the second stage is a sorting out stage, but it's difficult for us because there's some things we don't want to apply the truth to, which is the truth. So he says, what's valuable is what's helpful. So in order for me to determine what's valuable in my life, I have to, first of all, know what I want and then be able to evaluate whether or not what I'm doing is moving me toward that or not. They may seem like they contradict what I just said about everything being helpful. Everything being helpful does not mean everything is ultimately helpful, but that doesn't mean you have to go through pain in order to learn. But if you choose to go through pain, it can be helpful, but it's not required. See the difference? If I decide to go through pain, what is pain anyway? Pain is just what a person goes through who doesn't practice the truth in their life. That's all. And so is every change that person going through helpful, even if it sometimes feels painful? Yes. Do they need to go through the pain in order to have the answer? No.
So you're saying if somebody is enlightened enough, they can go through change without the pain?
Yeah, exactly. It's as simple as me telling you, if you put your hand on the hot stove, it will burn you. Okay, then you can put your hand on the hot stove and get burned, and you get the lesson, and you go, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Or you could tell me what would happen if I put my hand on the hot stove, and I go, I believe you. I got the same lesson. I didn't go through none of the pain. Right? And that's what the whole, and that's what I'm beginning to realize was the whole relationship that Jesus had with us was the same thing. It was like, if you just do what I tell you, you won't go through a whole lot of pain. But most people, let's face it, we think we're different. And so we learn the hard way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I used to love to hang out with my older uncles and my grandfather. That was a weird kind of kid. If I had some free time when I was 20 or 19, I was heading straight over to visit my grandfather. I loved to be around people who were older than me because I always felt like they could save me a lot of time if I would just listen to them. Most young people don't think that way. But I also went through 90% less crap than all my peers did. They got the same lesson, but they always went through pain that I didn't go through. And I've noticed that. And so that's my same relationship to the Holy Spirit of Jesus. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, you put this book together to tell me exactly what I'm going to go through on the way to enlightenment, how to avoid pain, and how to have joy. Okay, I listen to you. I don't need to go through the physical pain in order to get the lesson. Some people, they won't learn any other way, but it's still helpful. But I just don't choose to, if I can help it. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen sometimes. But I'd much rather learn by somebody else's experience. You know what I'm saying? If I see you get burnt, it's a lot easier than me getting burnt. Yeah.
I have a pretty good example of how this is showing up in my life.
Okay.
And I'm sure, I don't know if any of you would have a similar experience because I think that a lot of people are generally in a stable position in their lives and they just kind of operate from that. But the lesson that I'm having is I've decided to do this first. I've decided to find out what I want first.
Right.
And I get constant reminders of when I haven't decided what my goal
is. What's your name, madam?
Elizabeth.
Okay.
Sorry. So, you know, I'm trying to do this applying the truth thing.
Okay.
And everything's working out with that. But I am getting to the process of sorting out. And mm-hmm. It does really very much feel like things are being taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like friendships, relationships,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. just everything I've known my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of sitting in a, okay, do I move out of the country? Out of the state? Where do I go? You know, because mm-hmm. now it's like, now I really am stripped to... Like, I'm definitely able to, like, manifest that. Like,
mm-hmm.
now it's like I just got to choose what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to choose what you want when your ego is still like, no, this is what we did before. So I'm definitely getting a lot out of this today, just because the present does dispel fear. And so I can't even think to what I'm doing in an hour. I can think about what I'm doing next week, but, you know, not this minute. So it's kind of...
Thank you. One of the best things to keep in mind is that you are not alone. That you have invisible help. You have spiritual help far beyond anything you can imagine. What makes it frightening is when we think we're on our own. You know what I mean? And if you were to give yourself permission not to know right now, but just to know what you want. You know, we were talking about that in the class Sunday
mm-hmm.
about, you know, first you decide what is it for, what do you want to come out of it. And then you see every situation that you enter into as an opportunity to make what you want to happen happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide that you wanted peace. So now you must see every situation as an opportunity for you to have peace. And then it said the goal will create the circumstances that will accomplish the goal. So you're focusing clearly on what you want. That's actually going to create the conditions that give it to you. That's why it seems like things are being taken away, is because most of the things that are being taken away are things that you were not using to give yourself peace through, or things that were not supporting your goal.
Unfortunately, it was 95% of my life.
Yeah, and that's what most people find out. You know, is that exactly right? You know, if I'm not happy, then I must be in an environment or a perception of my environment that doesn't give me joy. So if I say I want to be happy, you know, it's like me being in the, I like to use analogies because it makes things easier for me. It's like if I'm in a green circle, and then everything in that circle is reinforcing greenness, and all of a sudden I say I want pinkness, then greenness has to go away. Right. You know, but while greenness is going away, I'm freaking because all I know is green.
Right.
Yeah? So then I got this intermediate stage between the green leaving and the pink showing up. And that's the time of faith. That's
when you call that chartreuse?
Yeah. You go through the chartreuse. Yeah. And what the course says is don't worry because it won't take you as long to get to the pink as it took you to make the green. And that's what I always love about it. It's not going to take you as long to make the pink. Because you know why? Because the universe is supporting you having the pink. It took you by yourself to make the green. The universe isn't helping us be miserable. We're doing that on our own. So the minute we decide to go for love, we have the support of the whole universe, and we don't realize that. Now you want to get with the program. Okay, now there's going to be people in your life, and there'll be three kinds of people in your life as you make a transition. The first kind of person will be the person that needs you to play the role that you've been playing, to continue to play that role, because that role was fulfilling a need for them. So that's why sometimes people are shocked when how their friends and stuff will ridicule them and not support them. Like the person who wants to stop smoking is shocked when all their smoking friends are trying to give them a cigarette. But they need you to stay and fulfill the role you just fulfill. Mm-hmm. He says then the next type of person is the one that you'll find is also wanting to go to pink just like you. So you find some people, they want to make the same kind of change that you do, that you're friends with or that you know. And then there'll be some people, and this is the hard one, there'll be some people you'll just have to choose out of relationships with. You just have to go, you know what? I can't achieve my goal and still hang out with this person. They're not bad, but they're just not helpful in terms of what I'm trying to do, because they're continually saying, you need to have a smoke. And you'll feel better when you have a smoke. You see what I'm saying? So they are not helpful because they're not helping you achieve your goal. And that's a challenge for a lot of people because they think they need to take everybody with them through every change that they make. And that's not true. There are people that are waiting for you that are going to come into your experience that are going to be infinitely more supportive and satisfying to where you are right now. Trust me on that one. But if you're the kind of person that's really changing fast, it'll look to you like there's a big turnover of people. Because you like every time I change, my class changes. I said that over and over again. Every time I go through a big change of consciousness, 50% of the people that's been coming to my classes don't come back. You know, and that's one of the ways I can always tell. Then there's some core people, like some of you that's been hanging around for a while. What does that mean? We are going to pink together. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're still going through the same. Some I don't see for a while, and then they're back. You see what I'm saying? You go through your changing. All of a sudden, now we're back in the pink groove again. But that doesn't mean something was wrong with you when you were somewhere else. It just meant that you were learning your lessons through another form. And so that's why I don't take it personally as far as who's here, who's not here. I just trust that whoever is here should be, and whoever's not, they're supposed to be wherever they are. But the thing I've noticed is that I've never been alone. You see what I mean? It's like somebody's always here, though. You know, and if it wasn't, then I just leave. I've done it before. You know, I know when my time is up in any location. It just doesn't happen no more. It's that simple. You know, it took me a while to get that. I'd never be deserted. I just had to stay in tune with the change. So now it's like, are you helpful? Then you're valuable. If you're not helpful, then you're not valuable. But not in terms of your intrinsic value, but in terms of your value to my goal. See the difference? Because people communicate with the people who they see as helping them achieve their goal. Do you know that? You know, people get in touch with the people who they feel will help them achieve their goal. So the friends who do call you, the friends who do go out with you, the reason why they're doing that is because whatever their goal is, they see you as being helpful to their goal, whether their goal is just to go to a movie and have a good time. Well, they call you because they feel like, well, if they go to the movie with you, they're going to have a good time. So they're still seeing you in terms of their goal. That's not a bad thing, but that's just human nature. Have you ever, like most of my family doesn't stay here. And it was none of my family, most of them, none of them. The thing that's interesting, we were very close. I lived with my family all my life till I moved up here. I stayed in Memphis until 7 years ago when I moved up here. I very seldom hear from my family, even though I know they love me. And it took me a while to kind of get that. Just like, wow, you know, first my little specialness got, you know, kind of massacred. Then I was like, you know why? It's not that they don't care about me. It's that I'm not impacting their day-to-day experience. What's going on in their day-to-day experience doesn't include me. So now they're caught up in their own experience, and so they're communicating with the people that's a part of their day-to-day experience. But if you say, do I love my brother Earl, they'd be the first one to say, yeah. You know what I mean? So it's don't take it personal when people are not in your experience or used to be in your experience. It's just in terms of what's going on in their life right now, you are not a part of that goal, helping them achieve that goal. Now, the minute that they think of something that they want, then they'll call me. Because then I fit within whatever the goal is, even if nothing but saying, hey, I want to talk to you about something you talked to me about 3 months ago that was real helpful. So the course keeps saying that. It's like what's valuable is what helps you achieve your goal. So the minute that I became a part of what would help them achieve their goal, then I got the phone call. Well, if a person sees me in terms of the course, right, that they can really get a lot from the course from me, and let's say they lose interest in the course. 9 times out of 10, my experience has been when someone loses interest in the course, they also lose interest in me. It always happens simultaneously. It took me a while to get that because I would think I had, like, created this relationship with them that was separate from the course and we had become friends. But in 90% of the cases, the minute a person loses interest in the thing that I was helpful for, then they lose interest in me. Now, is that an attack on me? No. That's just human nature. And when I understand that, then I don't have to get offended. But if I tell myself, you know what, I want to have the peace of God, and each one of you can help me achieve the peace of God, and I can help each one of you achieve the peace of God, then you would always be valuable to me. You see what I mean? Because each one of you can be used for truth. I can use everybody for the truth, but I cannot use everybody for illusion. If I just want to remember the truth, I can do that with anybody. If I want to have somebody to practice the truth on, oh, well, I can do that with anybody. But if I want you to be my girlfriend, everybody can't be my girlfriend. You see what I'm saying? The minute the specialist comes in, that's when you deal with specifics. You know what I mean? Saying if I need a way downtown after the class, everybody can't give me a way downtown. That's specific. So the course says illusions are always specific. But if I want to practice the truth, I could practice the truth on every one of you. I could practice seeing every one of you as innocent. So whatever is the truth, you can always do with everybody equally. Whatever is an illusion, the course says you can only do with specific people. That's how you can tell the difference between truth and illusion. Truth is general, illusion is specific. So at the level of the body, then what's valuable is what helps me reach my goal. What's not valuable is what isn't helping me reach my goal. And that's not negative and it's not selfish. That's just the truth. It's a lot easier to get along with somebody who wants to get along with you. It just is. Somebody you share the same purpose with is easier to get along with than somebody has a different purpose. But even if someone shares a different purpose with me, I can still use them for the truth. You know, even if you don't want to do anything I want you to do, I can still use you for the truth because I can use that as an opportunity to practice giving you freedom or blessing you for being whoever you want to be or not to try to get you to act out my script. So I'm still practicing the truth. See, I can practice the truth with anybody. I can't practice illusion, in a sense, with everybody. Specialness can't happen with everybody. Anybody else? You have cute legs, bro.
Thanks, bro.
I'm practicing the truth on your legs.
Thank you.
I run in sports. And at first, I just want to say Elizabeth that just as part of the study group, and I attend other groups of girls, that I feel like I'm kind of in the same spot you are. So I'm saying that to say that at least you're hearing from one other person sitting here that feels like also perhaps what you're feeling, experiencing
nice.
Now.
That's good.
And I also wanted some clarification when you said about the three different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as applying truth toward that third type of person,
mm-hmm.
I've been wrestling with that while like Elizabeth says, while there seems to be a sorting going on,
mm-hmm.
and but people out of the past or for some reason contacting me, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, my phone's been like just silent. It's like, why do I pay my phone? Why do I, you know, no one. And then all of a sudden, now that I'm starting to get into this, people from out of nowhere are
mm-hmm.
calling me.
And mm-hmm. move back to the street.
And my heart usually tells me, you know, if I will pay attention, I don't know if it's because I'm a beginner to the course, my inner self or my heart, if I will listen, usually, I think, tells me whether this person is, I don't want to say good or bad.
Helpful or not.
Yeah, helpful.
Yeah.
Helpful or
yeah,
not helpful
yeah.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my turmoil with that, when I kind of know, okay, this person contacted me out of the blue, you know, they still had my number lying around for years, and all of a sudden, hey, how's it going? Hey, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I didn't respond to them yet, because I'm kind of, I want to, I guess my question is, how do I apply the truth of sorting out, because I don't want to be judging them, even though I feel I know what their goal is for calling me. But sometimes I don't. And if I feel like I know what their goal is for calling me and it's not for what the course is about, like someone recently left a message, then I feel like I won't have a problem dealing with that. But with sorting out other people when it's not really clear to me whether they're helpful toward my goal or not, I become, you know, I'm wrestling with confusion as to how to determine if I'm not able to see what their motives or goals are.
Well, the course says, number one, is for you to be clear about what you want to come out of. It's like that's more important than to know what they want. It's for you to be clear about what you want. And the next thing is, it's very seldom that, and then also pay attention to your feelings. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think one of the biggest tricks that our ego plays on us is just what you just said about, well, I don't want to feel like I'm judging them and misperceiving them. The truth is, you're learning how to trust yourself. You're learning how to pay attention to your feelings and your intuitions. And even if you make a mistake, it still is more helpful for you to pay attention to how you feel And regardless of whether you're right or wrong, if you feel in your gut that you don't feel peace about this connection, then your lesson is to honor that. Because it's really about you learning how to trust your own inner guidance. So, to me, it's almost like a maybe means no to me. It's like the fact that you got such turmoil about it to begin with, to me that would be my first red flag, you know. And I would, and in my, me personally, I would communicate, number one, you could just simply ask, what is your purpose for getting in touch with me? What do you want? What do you want to come out of this? And they know. When somebody tell you they don't know, they know. They might be afraid to tell you because if they let you know what their agenda was, you might back off. But they know. Like if a guy walks up to you and he wants to spend time with you, you could say, what for? He knows why he walked up to you. He knows what he wants. Now, if it's something he feels is cool, he won't hesitate to tell you. If it's something that he feel like might put you off, then he's going to stir. He's going to blah, 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 blah. But he knew why he walked up, and that's true of all of us. So what my inner self is taking from listening to the Course is that if you clear what you want, and you can always, I need, do nothing. If you're not sure, then don't do anything right now and just see where it evolves and where it goes, you know. Don't make a decision. You don't have to make a decision about what to do right now. You can just ask the Holy Spirit to decide for you. What's interesting about asking the Holy Spirit to decide for you, which is what the Course says you should do when you don't know what to do, you said, is that somehow or another when you do that, it'll be revealed to you. What you need to know will be revealed to you. And so the way that you would deal with the turmoil right now, if you're not clear, is just to go decide for me, Holy Spirit. What I want out of this situation is peace. Do I feel peace when I communicate with this person? You know, and if I don't, then I know that this situation isn't helpful for me right now. And so I should not go any deeper until I can resolve the conflict within myself through either communication or just... Because what's great about it is this. Even if you don't choose to deal with the person, you are not doing anything to that person. You're not. It's not like that person's life is going to end and everything is going to go down the tubes for them because you chose not to have a relationship with them. Because whatever their spiritual lesson is, that spiritual lesson is going to come to them, not through you, it'll come through somebody else. That's what's so cool to me now, is to know that, you know, if I choose not to be in a relationship with someone, then that's okay, because if whatever the lesson is I need to learn, it'll come to me through somebody else. So if I don't want to learn it with you anymore, I can learn it with her. No, there's no law to say I got to force myself to stay with you just because I got to learn the lesson, so I'm going to learn it with somebody. So why don't I just learn it with you? Well, I don't like learning it with you. That's why I'm not going to learn it with you. I think I'd like to learn it with her. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're not guilty if you stay and you're not guilty if you go. If you decide to stick it out, that's great. If you decide you want to choose for someone else, that's great. Because the lesson is independent of the body that it comes through. That's what I love. But some people it's easier to learn your lesson with than others. Just like it's easier to learn a lesson without burning your hand than burning your hand. Some people have such misperceptions about, and they're so fixed and so strong, I can't change internally. I just have a fixed perception of you. So he says, well, that's what caused for changes in the external situation. Well, what would that mean? Well, that means that a change in the external situation could be another person. And then I would get the lesson. Because the name of the game is peace and love and joy. And we're moving toward a paradigm that's about joy and harmony and love, which is different from the one that's about struggle, fighting, and forcing. You know what I mean? So I'm going for the love. I'm going for the peace. If I'm going to be in a relationship with someone, it's definitely not going to be with somebody that's fighting me or I'm having to convince to love me. I'm going to do my lesson with somebody that shares my purpose and is open to me and receptive to me, not someone I'm having to convince. That would be the struggle path. So what's helpful is what moves me toward my goal. What's not helpful is what moves me away from my goal. And you're innocent either way that you choose. And when you want to make a change, you said people started coming back in your life. That's a lot of times that's a trick of the ego. It's the way to keep you from moving forward. It's to draw you back into something that you know, a dance you know you've already done. You know what I'm saying?
People have warned me about that, and not just also by also teach other teachers and you know tapes and things that I've listened to. They said that, and you said that in one of your classes, that when you start making this shift, just be aware that not only about, you know, people that will start to drop off and all this, but also that people will come and things will, try to present things to you to pull you back into the ego.
That's your old self trying to preserve itself. And the way the old self tries to preserve itself is to make you think you're crazy to go in a new direction, and then show you all the reasons why you need to keep doing it the way that you've always done it. That's why the Course says the hardest part is the beginning. Because you're meeting your own doubts about the path. And so the other people come into your life as a reflection of your own doubt at the very beginning of a change. That's why the person that wants to lose weight would draw the people to them and tell them that, you know, that's going to be hard and that's something you can't do. That's their own doubt. They're doubting whether or not they'll be successful in their weight loss program. So they get the reflection of their own doubt. So at the very beginning, that's why you have to be so discerning. And we were talking a little, Tanika and I were talking about at the beginning, you know, if a person says they're really ready to make a big change, they have to consciously make the change. And to me, consciously making the change means you know your old self is going to try to pull you back in your old habits, right? So you would consciously make a commitment and say, well, I'm going to do my meditation every morning at 7 o'clock no matter what. I'm committing myself to the Course class for 3 months or, you know, whatever it is. Because if you don't consciously do it, your old self is going to pull you back because you're developing this new consciousness. So you have to really, at the beginning, go, I'm making a conscious decision that this is what I'm going to do, and everything that doesn't move me in that direction, I'm not going to do anymore. And so without that commitment, the ego will pull you right back into the past again. Let me try to do, well, it's 5 minutes to one, I want to go into another one. So anyway, those are the two thoughts we want to take with us out into the lab today. Thought number one is what I'm undoing right now. It might look like some things are being taken away, but it's really not. It's just a lack of values being recognized, and I'm going to claim that all changes are helpful. Step number two, I'm going to do a sorting out. So now I have to start to make my decisions based on, is this situation, person, or circumstance moving me toward my goal, or is this situation, person, or circumstance delaying me in terms of my goal? If they're moving me toward my goal, they're helpful. If they're not moving me toward my goal, they're not being helpful. Those are the first two steps in developing trust. Okay, so I'm
on. What if you feel you've had a long period between the green and the pink that you're going toward?
That would mean that I need to even get more committed to the pink. It means that I'm not as committed to the pink as I should be. Because the more intensely you desire it, then the faster you move toward it. So right now there may be like a desire for it, but it's not a burning desire. So right now you may find that your desire for your goal is greater than ever before. So now you're probably going to start to see things start to speed up more. So it just calls for more of a commitment. That's what I notice. When I go through those periods like what you're talking about, I call it my lukewarm period. It means I'm kind of lukewarm about it, but I'm not as fired up as I should be right now.
I was also thinking about what Elizabeth said, you know, about 10 years ago, I had a lot of people go out of my life, and I haven't really
replaced them yet.
I will have people here and there, and then they seem to come in and go out. Mm-hmm. But really, I haven't replaced those core people.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is that right now there's another level of devotion that you want to get. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, how much time am I really investing in my new direction, and how much more time can I invest in my new direction? Because what I feel a lot of times, like in the classes on Sundays and Thursdays, and even today, we are surrounded by people who share our purpose. So the potential to have new relationships are all around us. But what usually happens is we don't initiate them. You know, we don't go, what's your name? Can we study together? Let's go out. None of that happens. Usually it's like because, again, because the people around us haven't met our specialness criteria.
I started to do that, but then the people change. Every Wednesday I come here, it's usually different people except for Elizabeth.
Yeah.
It was a whole bunch of different people.
Oh, that's like absolutely normal for the course. Yeah. But if you got their number, if it was a connection, if it was a real connection, it would be, even if they didn't come back to the class, y'all would still contact each other, you know.
I don't know if it's my age or whatever, but I find that I have too many people in my life that I don't have time for everybody. And I think that's why I tend to not get into it.
As long as you know you're not a victim of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that you know you could have more, but you're choosing not to. That's different from feeling like there's nobody there. You see what I mean? I found that the more people you have in your life, if they're not about the purpose of innocence, in most cases it's just a delaying maneuver, because you just have a lot of people with a lot of scripts getting upset with you because you're not fulfilling their scripts. If you have a lot of people in your life, but they all realize it's all in divine order, and I'll see you when I'm supposed to, and when I don't see you, I'm not supposed to, and we're hooked up whether we see each other or not, then I could have a million friends and we would never conflict. But to have a million ego friends would be hell. Having 10 or 15 ego friends, all with scripts, all comparing, it's hell. Because you haven't called, because then those are the people. Let me send this around. Thank you for sharing Holy Spirit in the love offering. I really appreciate that. So I'm very discerning about who I form personal relationships with, because they just end up getting mad at me. Because I'm not going to be the person who calls every day. And I'm not going to be around all the time. You see what I'm saying? So someone who has those conditions of, I call you once, you call me once. I call you three times, you didn't call me three times. You know, that kind of level is not an easy level to have friendships on. You know, the level that I can have friendships on is people who realize that first and foremost, we're always where we're supposed to be. And if we do make an agreement, of course, let's try to keep the agreements that we make and not be new age flaky. You know, just because you didn't keep the agreement, then you know, and you didn't show up, and then I said, well, I was waiting for you for an hour, and you said, well, you know, it was in divine order. See, that don't work for me. Okay, that's just somebody not being an integrity, right, trying to use the truth as an excuse. You run into that a lot. You know, it's like, okay, you innocent, but guess what? I'm not making another date with you, and I'm innocent. You see what I mean? You know, it's like that's the way I do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you innocent, I'm innocent, but that don't work for me. And you innocent. You know, or if a person guilt trips me. If I tell a person something from my heart that's really going on and they start trying to guilt trip me, then it's like, I'm backing off of you. Why? Because my goal is innocence. My goal isn't guilt. So if I wanted guilt, then if I don't want guilt, why do I want to be in a relationship with somebody that's always putting a guilt trip on me? So, and then you tell them, though. You tell them. You be honest. You say, you know something? The guilt trip thing doesn't work for me. The more you try to make me feel guilty, the less I'm going to be inclined to do anything with you. Because then that gives them a chance to make a choice. And then if they still want to make you feel guilty, then you can feel totally innocent about saying, you know what? I couldn't possibly be the right person. Why? Because I don't want to join with you. And it just freaks people out. They don't expect you to just be honest. But you, why are you being honest? Because you want to join, not because you want to separate. You're saying, hey, you know, I want to connect. And it's okay if you don't want to do it my way, but I'm going to be honest enough so that you can make an informed decision about whether or not you want to do it my way. You know, like I tell people right at the front, I don't have conventional attitudes about relationships. So if you're looking for a traditional attitude guy, I'm not your man. You know, then you can make an informed choice and you can go, okay, yay or nay. And what I find is the people that say yay, they usually mean it and we have a good thought. But if I never communicated who I was, or if I pretended I was something I wasn't, then you end up being surrounded by people you can never be yourself with. Like whenever you act the way you think other people want you to act, you end up surrounded by people that you never can be who you are with. And that's hell to me. You know, people, you can't talk about what you're interested in, you can't act the way you want to act because you spared them a lie. You pretended like you were something that you weren't. So we know what's helpful now, right? So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the next day I want to go deeper. It means I want to go simpler. And that's gonna be a challenge. You'd be surprised the resistance that simplicity brings up. Really. But the course is really simple. It's not hard, it's different. So have faith right now in this period of transition, because I promise you that new people will come into your experience who correspond more with where you are right now. You know, same thing you've done, the same thing. It's like now you're even more committed, you're joining, you know, and you're gonna connect with people in ways that you never dreamed of. Okay?
I have a quick quip about innocence. Mm-hmm. I'm standing on that corner over there mm-hmm. yesterday or the day before. Mm-hmm. Woman comes up to me and says, "You haven't felt guilty for anything since the day you were born." Random woman.
Did you give my dollar?
No. She was the one you should have gave the dollar.
I just told her, I think I stepped in front of her. I did something that she thought was rude. I was like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Like, you haven't felt guilty for anything since the day.
Oh, okay. So her.
That's true. In fact. That's what I told her.
Thanks, you all. Thanks for coming. I appreciate you.